You should come live my life. It's pretty humorous. I can tell you all kinds of stories.
Super dirty. I like it super dirty.
Oh, yeah.
You drank your own pee.
I did.
Why did you drink your own pee?
I will try just about anything.
Yeah.
Once.
You would just be free spirited all over, living in a cardboard box on the street somewhere.
I'm sitting here without any clothes on.
Yeah, my hair looks awful.
Okay. I was very spoiled and I was very bratty. I still am.
Yep.
Grab a drink and settle in, because this is Life Unscripted with Amy K. Clark.
Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Life Unscripted with Amy K. Clark. I've been talking a lot today at work, so I feel like my voice is very scratchy. So if I sound weird, that's why. But I have my glass of whiskey, so I will be fine, because whiskey cures everything. I truly believe that. So it'll be fine. First, I have to apologize for not having an episode last week. We've been going through some family stuff, and I was dealing with some crazy bouts of depression. Partially dealing with the family stuff, partially dealing with the fact that I had 4 days off work. And when I have 4 days off work, I live in my own little bubble and I get depressed and watch One Tree Hill, which just makes me cry and makes me hate life. So I ended up canceling one of my podcasts that was supposed to be recorded, with my friend Terrence, who we will get back in here soon, I promise. Second apology is my dogs are in the room with me because, the husband is gone getting groceries because it has been a week. It's only Tuesday and it's been a week. So the dogs are in here with us and they are enamored with my guest and my guest's background cheering section. So if you hear the dogs whimpering and whining, it's because they want attention and we're not giving them attention. So, I do have a guest with me. It is not just me by myself, and it is not my husband, like always. If you listened to the podcast, I think it was back in, like, January, maybe? Was it January? Oh my gosh, he just jumped into your lap. Oliver, get down.
I thought it was more like October.
Was it that far away?
I think it was.
Oh yeah, because my birthday was January.
Yeah.
I should know when my own birthday is. And it was definitely before that. Okay, so it was like back in like September, October, November, somewhere around there. I had Angelo on. Welcome to the show, Angelo.
Oh, thank you, Amy.
So I had him on and we talked about, then at the time we were talking about his book and I guess the short films that we were working on, mm-hmm. or that you were working on that I was helping work on.
Yeah.
And so I decided to bring him back in to kind of give like updates of what's been happening since obviously October. And there is now a feature film happening in the works happening. There's a book number two happening. There's a lot of stuff happening. Mm-hmm. So that's what we're going to do is chat about that. And I promise you, if you listen to the previous one, we will try not to get so deep and dark and depressing in the first half of the show. We tackled a lot of topics that just went down a dark rabbit hole last time.
We did.
Which those topics will still be here because it's still the same book and it's still the same topics. But I feel like we already tackled it.
Yeah.
So tell us the name of your book again and give a brief synopsis of the book for those people who haven't read the book or listened to the podcast. And I'm about to throw the dog out the window.
Yeah, so the book is The Incredible Jake Parker, which is about a 19-year-old pop star's secret battle with an eating disorder and kind of about what happens when people find out about that eating disorder and how that affects his recovery.
Yes. When people stop being nice and start getting real.
Yeah.
The real world.
Mm-hmm.
Jake Parker.
Yeah.
Sorry, you're way too young to know what the real world was, but those people who are listening that are old like me are like, dude, the real world.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you wrote the book.
Yeah.
You actually, we talked about this last time, you actually wrote it as a screenplay first.
Yep.
Then you turned it into a book.
Mm-hmm.
Sold the book.
Yeah.
Sold lots of copies of the book.
Mm-hmm.
It's like millions. He's like New York Times.
Not quite.
Best-selling author. No, mm-hmm. but you've sold lots of books. Mm-hmm. Everybody thinks it's amazing.
Yeah.
And then decide to turn it back into a movie.
Yeah.
And that's where we are now.
Correct.
Right. Mm-hmm. So what was the process like that as far as like it was already a screenplay and then you made it into a book mm-hmm. to take it back into a screenplay? Mm-hmm. Was that hard or did you just like pull up the old copy and you're like, here we go, done, ready to go?
So I actually rewrote it from scratch because okay. a lot ended up changing when I wrote it as a book because the book is written in Jake's perspective. Uh-huh. So I feel like I understood him a lot better through that process, and there's just things in the script that I wanted to reflect from the book and stuff like that.
Okay.
And I just like am OCD about writing, and I'm like, I'm just going to start from scratch. So yeah, that's what I did.
Uh-huh. And you wrote an amazing character for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's how we met. So you were doing, how do you describe those? They were short films. Mm-hmm. Partially as like school projects.
Yeah, they were school projects. The first one was really a trailer for the book to kind of just promote that, and it was like it's the opening scene of the book and yeah. the film. But it was also kind of secretly a way to be like, hey, I want to make this into a feature mm-hmm. film.
It was like a proof of concept.
Yeah. Right. And the second one that we did, which came out in January, was the same kind of thing. Not as successful, honestly, but mm-hmm. it was the same idea. It's like, how do we visualize this? How yeah. do we kind of stage this as a film?
Yeah. So it's kind of like a way, a lot of people do, like I said, like a proof of concept short film. Mm-hmm. When you have like a feature film, a concept, you have a script, you have an idea of what you want it to look like, and people can't necessarily visualize it. Or you're just trying to get funding, you're trying to get production crew, whatever it is you're trying to do, you do like a proof of concept short film. So it will look like the final film as mm-hmm. far as typically the, you know, like the way it's shot, the way it's edited, the feel of it will be mm-hmm. similar to what the feature film will be. And be able to show people and say like, this is what I want to do. And then you show that to people and you shop it around or you, you know, use that as like your proof of concept.
Yeah.
It's aptly named, mm-hmm, proof of concept. So that's kind of, you did that. Mm-hmm. And I played, my dogs are funny. So I played Kat, who was his manager. Mm-hmm. And kind of, I'm going to go with like, I want to say older sister just because mm-hmm. I don't want to sound old.
Yeah.
But I'm going to go with like a mother figure of mm-hmm. some sort.
Yeah.
In the book and then again in the film. Mm-hmm. And so we did those little shorts and through that process I feel like we became good friends.
Of course.
Even though I could be your mother, which we've talked about before.
Yeah.
Little fun side note on the last podcast, Angela was not drinking because Angela was not 21 mm-hmm. and I said I could not allow him to drink on the podcast.
Yeah.
But he's 21 now. So he's having a drink.
Yeah.
Which will make it way more entertaining. I don't know about that.
Maybe not.
He's like, no, I'm going to fall asleep in the corner. Okay, so where are you at now with that whole thing? Like, what's going on with... Oh, my goodness, dogs. When your father gets home, I tell you.
Yeah, so, like, we're getting everything in place, and by we, I mean mostly I, because mm-hmm. I'm the one who's kind of doing all the work here. Yeah, so casting is something that I've been focusing on a lot. We have all of our lead cast set, including Amy. Yeah. We have a new Jake
Thank
Parker.
Thank you.
This is our third Jake Parker.
Yeah, that's kind of a funny story. Like, okay, so those people who don't understand how casting works anyway... Mm-hmm. Explain a little bit about, like, how casting works, how you have managed to have three Jake Parkers, mm-hmm. When nobody did anything wrong. Like, they were great actors and mm-hmm. great Jake Parkers, but they're yeah. no longer Jake Parker. So, mm-hmm. how does that all go down?
Yeah, so the Jake Parker that we had in the first short film, Cole Hamill, he was great. And everybody really loved his performance. Should I keep talking?
I'm going to put them in the other room is what I'm going to do. So, hold on. Okay. Sorry to interrupt. But I got the dogs out of here, so we're going to move on. Mm-hmm. So, as you were saying, mm-hmm. Jake Parker, or multiple Jake Parkers. That's what we were talking about.
Yeah, so for the first short film, I found someone in Columbus, which is where we were shooting, and his name was Cole Hamill, and he was a great guy who's actually a musician in real life and has done some acting, too. Super great to work with. He did a great job in the first short film. Everyone loved his performance. Mm-hmm. People still talk to me about it, and they're like, is he still playing Jake?
Yeah.
No. And then when the second short film came around a few months later, I reached out to him, and he basically expressed to me that he's not interested in acting anymore. He's really focused on his music, which is super cool, and I'm happy for him. So then I had to find a new Jake Parker.
Yeah.
Which it was difficult to find the first one. So I was like, God, now I gotta
To take it back for a second, the character of Jake Parker is like 19.
Mm.
He's a newfound pop star.
Yeah.
Who plays music for real? Music.
Mm-hmm.
And is going through anorexia and doesn't really know it.
Mm-hmm.
So right there, you've narrowed down your pool of potential male actors a lot, because it's hard enough to find 19-year-old male actors or someone who could play 19 who's a good actor.
Mm-hmm.
Then you need them to look skinny enough that they could look unhealthy, which is not easy for an actor.
Mm-hmm.
And then you need them to play music or at least pull it off spectacularly, because there are scenes where it's like actually playing music, like concert type scenes.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why it was difficult. Cause I feel like people are like, so just find another actor. Yeah. Like how hard could that be? But it's not just like, oh, it's a dad in a movie. Like, you had these very strict requirements.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like I kind of felt like it was trying to find the next Hannah Montana or something, you know, and somebody who was able to do everything, but also someone who was local and affordable and available and all of these things.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I was bummed after that, but then for the second short film that we did in, we shot that in January, I just went through Facebook. I actually looked through, like, your friends list.
Nice.
For all kinds of, any actors.
I'm glad I was able to help out.
Any actors in Columbus that I could find who looked like they could fit the part. Not knowing anything about them, most of them didn't have reels or anything.
I did have a, what was it called? Like, it was like a casting assistant credit or something.
Yeah, you're a casting associate.
Yeah. When I saw it in the credits, I was like, I started laughing.
You asked for a casting credit.
I know. I was like, oh my God, I'm laughing. I was like, I told him I needed a casting credit.
Yeah.
Anyway, go ahead.
So then I found someone named William Scarborough. He's mostly a theater actor. And he was just like, yeah, I'll do it. Like, sounds good. He was just into it like right away, which was cool.
Yeah.
I didn't meet him until we shot the first film, or that short film.
Yeah.
He was also great to work with. Very different than Cole, I think.
Oh, yeah.
His presence on set was a lot different.
Yeah.
And just kind of his personality and stuff. But he was great to work with, and, like, when I put the film out there, like, people liked him, too.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we did a table read in April? May?
Yeah,
I think it was April.
I think it was April.
And he came back for that.
Mm-hmm.
But he is not the Jake Parker that we're using for the feature film.
Yeah.
Because he's not a musician.
Yeah. And I remember talking to him at the table, and he was like, well, I can play. Like, I can play music. But I think the thing that is cool about what you're doing is that the guy that is playing Jake Parker is, like, emerging musician already. Like, he already has that, like, I want to say that star quality, but he already has that, like, this is what I want to do.
Yeah.
So for him to have this role as an actor who's also playing music, like, that's a cool position for him to be in.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah, I, like, my approach to casting Jake Parker the third time was, like, literally just to go on YouTube and find people doing covers of, like, Shawn Mendes, One Direction, like, anything in that genre, and trying to find someone who, like, wasn't so popular that I wouldn't be able to afford them.
Yeah.
But someone who was talented and kind of fit the bill and seemed attainable.
Yeah.
And I found, like, four or five different ones and auditioned all of them. And the one that got the role was Liam Wall, who is a singer-songwriter in California. He's 22, but it's close
enough.
You
can look,
I
mean, all the actors on, like, 90210 back in the day were, like, 30, and they were playing 17-year-olds. So, again, I'm old.
Yeah.
The old 90210, not the current old 90210.
Is there a new one?
I mean, it came out in, like, early 2000s.
That's still old.
So
to
I'm
me.
Not.
It's
that's
all
what
same.
I mean.
It's
that's what
old.
I'm saying. Not that old one. Mm-hmm. The actual old one from, like.
I didn't know there was an older one.
892. I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah. My range.
I see.
Anyway, moving on. We're not going to dwell on the fact that I'm old. Okay, so we've casted a new Jake Parker.
Yeah.
And he's doing some of the music, am I right?
Yeah. So there are two original songs in the film. There is one at the beginning and one at the end. And the one at the end I actually wrote with a friend of mine. So he didn't write that one, but he is performing it. And then the one that opens the film, he's pretty much has free reign to write and produce that and perform it, which he's really excited about. And I'm excited about too.
Yeah. I mean, that's really cool for someone who, like, that's what they want. You know, like...
Yeah.
I've been a part of a lot of projects that are, like, nothing cool.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
That sounds bad. I've put a lot of time and energy into things that I know are not going to go anywhere, mm-hmm. I guess is my point.
Yeah.
But I like the role, or I like the people who are doing it, and I'm like, sure, I'll play a part in your movie, whatever. Mm-hmm. But I feel like there's so much that's going into this film
mm-hmm.
that it really could be, like, something really big.
Yeah, I'm hoping.
Which, as I told you, mm-hmm. Like, before, like, a lot of your cast, not a lot, but some of your cast is coming in from Columbus to Louisiana, where we're filming.
Mm-hmm.
I'm assuming we can say that, right?
Yeah, of course, yeah.
filming in Louisiana this summer.
Mm-hmm.
And I had said to you, like, that tells you a lot about how people feel about your film
mm-hmm.
because you're not going to give up your time at work to travel to another city or mm-hmm. another state to do this film. Granted, you're paying, which, you know, a lot of people don't pay.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
that gives you props right there because you're actually paying for your talent.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, to give up so much time to go to some, you know, to fly wherever, tells you that people believe in you and, like, believe that this is going to be worth their time
mm-hmm.
and effort. Because it's a lot of time away to, like, fly someplace else and be there for a few days and fly someplace, you know, like,
mm-hmm.
So yeah, I think it could definitely be something really cool.
Yeah.
And for this kid, Liam, to
mm-hmm.
be able to, like, have his music
in
this movie, like,
mm-hmm.
I would have said yes if I were him.
yeah, he's super excited about
you know?
It, which is cool. It's cool to be working with people who are, like, as excited about it as I am.
Yeah.
Because in the past, like, the short... I tapped the microphone. Even, like, some of the short
tap
films...
Tap that. It's okay.
And stuff, like... Yeah, it's just cool to be working with, like, a cast that is as excited about the project.
Yeah, for sure. We're going to pause and do our mystery shots.
Okay.
Because I forgot.
Okay.
And I forget every time.
It's okay.
Mystery shots.
And it's way fun to do mystery shots. So here, would you like Wall Drug or would you like Columbus Zoo, Heart of Africa? Which one are you feeling more like, Wall Drug or Heart of Africa?
Heart of Africa.
Okay, you can have the Heart of Africa one.
Okay. And you already know what these are, yes.
I do know what it is. You don't, though. It's the mystery.
It looks like water.
Yeah, it's just water. we're just doing shots of water.
I have a feeling that's not true.
It's not water. It'll taste good, though. You'll like it, I promise.
Okay.
I promise.
Okay.
So we will do our mystery shot, and then you have to guess what it is.
Okay.
Hence the mystery.
Yeah.
Okay, ready? Cheers.
Mm-hmm.
I heard you're gulping.
Yeah.
It made me want to rip my headphones off my head.
Oof. Oh, because, you're wearing headphones.
Uh-huh.
Mm.
All right, what is that? The look on your face does not say good.
It tastes like super spicy Sprite.
Super spicy Sprite?
Yeah.
Okay, that's weird.
Mm-hmm. I'm just telling you, like, it's the only thing that comes to mind.
It tastes like Fruit Loops to me.
I see that now.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to guess what it was?
I don't have any guesses.
Super spicy Sprite, that's what you guessed. it was Fruit Loop vodka and Clementine vodka.
Okay.
So, like, orangey.
Yeah.
It's like the orange Fruit Loops.
Okay.
Are Fruit Loops different flavors? No, I don't know. Are they same. All the same flavor, yeah. just colored differently? Mm-hmm. All right, fine. It's not the orange Fruit Loops. I don't know. Loops. It's just Fruit Loops.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I see that now.
There you sense. Go. That was your mystery shot.
Thank you.
Or have you even done shots before? I don't know. You're a child.
No, because I just turned 21.
Yes. There you go. Just like, what, two weeks ago?
Almost a month ago.
Because we were supposed to do a podcast, right?
Yeah.
Shortly after.
Mm-hmm.
And then we rescheduled for God knows what reason. I was probably in bed and didn't want to leave.
Or I was.
Yeah. One of us was probably depressed at the time and didn't want to get out of bed. But we're both here now.
Mm-hmm.
And we're both smiling. That's all that matters.
Yeah.
Okay, so book number one.
Mm-hmm.
Done. Written.
Mm-hmm.
It's in the bank.
Yeah.
Literally.
Mm-hmm.
It's in the Amazons.
Yeah.
So then screenplay for book or for movie number one. Mm-hmm. We're going to call it movie number one.
Okay.
And it's called Incredible Jake Parker?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So it's still Incredible Jake Parker.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure if we like renamed it or something. No. He's like, no.
No, we're not doing that.
No. Okay, so that is filming this summer.
Mm-hmm.
So what is your ideal timeline? Like, what is it looking like for when, like, when's the movie coming out? How long does this process take in mm-hmm. your mind?
Yeah, so I've talked to all kinds of people. One of the people that I've been working with at CCAD, which is where I go to school,
mm-hmm.
she's producing a film, and she's like, I've been editing this thing for 3 years.
I just felt smacked your face because there was literally like a little bug that landed on you.
But yeah, she's like, I've been editing this thing for 3 years.
Yeah.
I'm like, there's no
That's
way.
That's not happening.
Like, yeah, no. So because I am stupidly ambitious and I like to work hard, mm-hmm. It'll be out May 2020. So a year from now.
Okay.
Less than a year from now. And I actually had a conversation with a prominent movie theater in Columbus
uh-huh.
That shows independent films
uh-huh.
that Amy has there's had only, shown
there's
at.
There's only three of them. So.
I won't say the name because I haven't signed a contract yet.
It's okay.
But we're looking at having a premiere the first weekend of May
awesome.
There in Columbus.
And That's then, exciting.
As far as distribution goes, we'll see what mm-hmm. we do from there.
I have to put this out there. I love your optimism
mm-hmm.
and like your like like your drive to be like, this is going to happen,
mm-hmm.
that you're already planning the premiere
of course.
When we haven't even filmed yet.
Yeah, you
like,
have to.
I know, but I love that because mm-hmm. so many films that I work on like sit for mm-hmm. like 2 years or
yeah.
3 years, like
not happening.
Sit being edited or sit being, you know, whatever. Like, so like, I think it's awesome that literally nothing has been filmed yet
mm-hmm.
and yet you're working on the premiere.
Yeah.
I love it.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
and the sequel.
That's youth right there.
Yeah.
Like that's.
Yeah, when I'm old, I'm not going to be like that.
Yeah, no. you have a lot of energy. I have a youth right now.
Yeah.
So, sequel,
mm-hmm.
speaking of that.
Yeah.
So, you're writing a sequel. You've written a sequel. It's almost done.
Yeah, so I've written it as a screenplay.
Okay.
Because I feel like I've studied screenwriting a lot, and I understand the structure really well. So, I start as a screenplay. And that's what I did for the first one, so I feel like that's just kind
yeah.
of my method.
Yeah.
So that's written as a screenplay, and I'm currently writing it as a book, which is actually a pretty quick process because I... Because
you already
story.
Have the concept written out.
Yeah. And I'm hoping to make that one into a film, too.
Yes!
If everything goes well. But I wasn't... When I wrote the first one, like, I wasn't planning on writing a sequel. I'm not like, mm-hmm. I'm going to milk this cow for years. You know, that's mm-hmm. not what I was thinking. But I think, like, I released the first one in September... And as we've talked about on the last episode, it parallels my life in a lot of ways and
yeah.
my experience. And I felt like at that point when the book came out, for those of you who haven't read it, it ends on like, it's a pretty happy ending, right?
Yeah.
But I realized that like that wasn't true for me. Like
mm-hmm.
I wasn't at a happy ending at that point.
Yeah.
And that there was a lot more story to tell. And I was still experiencing and growing a lot more in recovery and just in life.
Yeah.
So I was like, I want to write more about this. And that's how the sequel came about.
Okay.
So it kind of reflects the year or so that I've been in recovery.
Yeah. Because I know you and I have talked about it before, and I know you've talked about it, like, on your Insta stories and stuff, like,
mm-hmm.
that it's, time has passed, and you are in a better place than you were before,
yeah.
obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But that you're not, like, done. Like,
yeah.
you're not fixed. You're not, it's not, mm-hmm. like... Someone waved a magic wand and everything
mm-hmm.
is fine.
Right.
Like, there's still challenges to go through. There's
mm-hmm.
still battles that you have to deal with.
Yeah.
And so it, not that it seems silly, because that makes it sound like your book was bad. It seems silly to wrap it all up with a bow and be like, oh, look, he, you know, did his time and he's fine.
Yeah.
Because that's not what I mean. But, like, there is so much more to tell. So mm-hmm. why not just keep telling it?
Yeah.
Because people are responding and people do mm-hmm. like the book. Mm-hmm. Everything I've ever seen. I've never seen anything bad.
Me neither.
I mean.
Surprisingly.
Yeah. Like, it's always been, like, good reviews and... Mm-hmm. good comments and things like that. Mm-hmm. So why not keep milking that cow?
Right.
Like,
yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And it's doing good for other people because
yeah.
you have gone and done several things. You've done several mm-hmm. like lectures and mm-hmm. things at like conferences and things like that.
Yeah.
Where you're telling your story
mm-hmm.
and not that that couldn't have happened had you not written a book.
Yeah.
But I'm sure that helped.
Yeah, I mean, when you like, apply to these things and you're like, I'm an author.
Exactly.
Like,
you know? Exactly.
It definitely, or even, like, in dating, you know, on all my first dates, I'm like, well, I'm an author and I have 5 stars on Amazon, by the way. You know? And it works. Like, that's impressive.
I love it.
People respond.
Does it work,
that.
Kyle?
Yeah.
I love it. And soon you can be like, I'm a filmmaker. I'm a director.
Yeah.
I'm, like, you can just keep adding them.
Mm-hmm.
Like... I'm an Oscar winner.
Not yet.
No, not yet, but I said soon.
Oh, yeah.
Soon.
After this one.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Because I will say, I was thinking about this the other day. If you were setting out to make this film 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Number one, you would have been 11. So probably wouldn't have gone over so well.
Yeah.
But... I think I would have said to you, like, no one's going to watch that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no one wants to watch that. Like, people watch
mm-hmm.
movies to feel happy and feel good about themselves
mm-hmm.
and be reminded that someone out there has a perfect life. Like,
mm-hmm.
that's what rom-coms were.
Right.
Like, literally, rom-coms had their moment because everyone wanted to watch a perfect life of
mm-hmm.
what they wish they had.
Yeah.
They're sitting at home in their pajamas
mm-hmm.
eating... ice cream straight out of the tub, crying,
mm-hmm.
and they're watching, you know, whoever, Reese Witherspoon,
mm-hmm.
make out with Matthew McConaughey. That's
mm-hmm.
totally not a movie.
Yeah.
But I put them together into a movie.
I would watch it.
Yeah, right? I picked two of my favorites, put
yeah.
them together in a movie. But, like, that became a thing because that's what people wanted to watch.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I feel like film has changed, TV has changed, like... There are so many movies on Netflix or on Amazon or on
mm.
even, like, on Hulu that are telling this story of something
mm.
that someone went through.
Yeah.
Whether it's an actual documentary or it's a, like, autobiography type story or
mm.
it's just this is the life that this fictitious character led.
Yeah.
That's what people are watching now.
Mm-hmm.
And... Right now, there's also this, we're gonna not get deep and dark, I promise. we're gonna play some games soon, okay? I promise. But there's also this, like, huge movement in, like, body positivity and
mm-hmm.
just being happy with, like, the person you are and
mm-hmm.
not being ashamed for how you are naturally and,
mm-hmm.
you know, this huge stigma on, there's, like, a huge stigma on eating disorders, but not in the way the stigma was in eating disorders before.
Yeah.
Not so much, like, shaming
mm-hmm.
and more, like, we're here for you. Just
mm-hmm.
embrace who you are
mm-hmm.
and you don't need that. You know what I
yeah.
mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so I feel like because you are going the avenue of this pop star
mm-hmm.
and the, like, glitz and glamour that goes with a pop star...
Mm-hmm.
And choosing a guy who's actually, like, writing a song and performing
mm-hmm.
a song for real.
Yeah.
But yet, in the midst of telling the story about this pop star, you're tackling this huge subject that
mm-hmm.
people don't want to talk about.
Yeah.
I think it could be, like, a gold mine. Like,
yeah. I hope
really.
So.
I mean,
that's,
I really do.
Yeah.
Like, not only do I love you as a person,
yeah.
but, like, I really do believe in what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, there's a paycheck, so I probably would have done it no matter what.
Yeah.
to be truthful. Mm-hmm. Like, I live in Ohio.
Of course.
Pretty much anyone's willing to pay me to act and I'm going to show up. Mm-hmm. Unless it's porn. But I actually believe in it. Mm. Contracts have already been signed. I would have done it for free.
Yeah.
But maybe not traveled for free. Mm-hmm. But I really do believe in it. And I mm-hmm. think this is the time to do it.
Yeah.
Not 5 years ago, not mm-hmm. 10 years ago. I think it would have been swept under the rug. No one would have paid attention.
Yeah.
But I think right now mm-hmm. is when people are willing to listen.
Yeah.
And people are wanting to listen. Mm-hmm. So I think you have that going for you.
Yeah. And I don't want to be one of those, like, I hear a lot of filmmakers, when they talk about their work, they start talking about, like, well, the current administration. Like, they start talking yeah. politics.
Yeah.
But I think there is something to be said about there's not a lot of diversity in the political mm-hmm. landscape that we mm-hmm. see right now. And also a lot of, I feel like there's just so much nonsense out there mm-hmm. that, like, we're not talking about the things that matter, in my opinion, a lot of times. And we're yeah. not talking about certain groups of people.
Yeah.
So I think representation is something people are pushing for
all
across media. And mental health and LGBTQ stuff mm-hmm. is a huge part of that. So I think...
Absolutely.
Even, like, it might be difficult to make changes politically right now, but I think art and film has always been a way to do that. And I think we're
it's like the forefront of that. Like, yeah. once you change that, mm-hmm. then, like, the political aspect changes. Because yeah. everybody sees it. Mm-hmm. as the norm.
Yeah.
Like, once you see it on your TV, mm-hmm. I mean, there's got to be something back in the day, like, with people like, oh, once you see, like, whatever it was, like, mm-hmm. maybe you live in small town USA and have never seen an African American.
Yeah.
But they show up on your TV, and now all of a sudden you're like, oh, that's a person, and mm-hmm. I can identify with that person. Like, The Cosby Show. Did you ever watch The Cosby Show?
No, but I'm okay, not but sure you know now what it we is. Talk about it.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, do you know what it is, at least?
Yeah.
Sure. He's like, yeah, I know he's in trouble. He's in jail. I know about Bill Cosby. But, like, that was, like, a huge thing because they were this black family that were successful and that had the same problems any other family had.
Yeah.
But all these families that lived in the sticks of Indiana or Ohio or West Virginia or whatever didn't know that existed. Mm-hmm. And so once they saw it on their screen, they were like, oh... That's real life. Like, mm-hmm. that's still real life.
Yeah.
And so I think that's kind of where you are. Mm-hmm. Like, you put this stuff out there and it mm-hmm. becomes the norm mm-hmm. eventually
yeah.
to where then it's not such a scramble politically.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
See, again, why are we getting so deep?
I'm sorry.
It's all you. You have to bring the topics way down here. Yeah. He's like, we've got to deal with social problems.
Yeah.
It's okay. I love you.
Thank you,
sir. Okay, so we're going to take a quick break. And then we're going to come back and play some games, probably.
Okay.
Are you game? Are you game for some games?
I am game for games.
Okay. Of course. Okay, good. All right, we're going to take a break, and we'll be back with Angelo to play some games. All right, we're back. Are you happy to be back?
I am happy to be back.
Good. We're good. Okay, so we've talked about the book. We talked mm-hmm. about the movie. Mm-hmm. What are these speaking engagements that you've been doing? You did some here locally. You went to yeah. Texas, right?
Yeah, I've been all over the place.
Okay, so what's all that about? Because yes. we didn't talk about that last time.
Right. So I am the spokesperson for the Center for Balanced Living, which is basically an eating disorder clinic in Columbus.
And that's where you went
yeah.
for treatment, right? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, and they've been a huge help to me kind of in this whole journey in promoting the book and the documentary that we talked about last yeah. time and all of that. And so they've actually been kind of the ones to send me out to these different things.
Yeah.
And which has been super, super cool. So the National Eating Disorder Association had... a conference in Houston, and it was I should know these dates. I think it was in March.
Sure.
I'm going to say it was in March.
Okay, let's go
and,
with March.
Yeah, and so they
I mean,
sent
I said
me
you were
there.
Here in January for a podcast, yeah. and it was totally normal.
Yeah, I think it was last weekend of March.
Okay.
So they flew me out there just to go and mm-hmm. to kind of share my perspective as someone who's had an eating disorder, kind of from an LGBTQ perspective, mm-hmm. and also as a male, which is...
Yeah.
Surprisingly, a marginalized community with
yeah.
eating disorders.
Yeah. Mm. Are both of those marginalized communities? Like, is it I feel like, okay, this is this is just me saying this, right?
Yeah.
I feel like when you, if you picture someone who has anorexia, you picture a, like, upper middle class white bitch. That's what I picture. Yeah. Which, I mean, that was me. But that's I think, what people picture. Because I actually, I follow a lot of people on Instagram that are, like, body positive people or, like, eating disorder recovery people. I follow this girl who's a eating disorder recovery coach, like, virtual coach. And she talks about, all the time, about, like, how she actually had a conversation with a woman at a park or something the other day. Like, this older woman was like, well, what do you do for a living? And she was like, oh, I'm a eating disorder recovery coach. And she said, well, what do you mean by that? And she was like, well, you know, I coach all these different people who have had different eating disorders, with, like, anorexia or bulimia or, you know, over-exercising or just, like, body dysmorphia, whatever it is that they deal with.
Yeah.
And the woman was like, oh, anorexia, that's a rich person's disorder.
Oof.
Like, and she was, like, fuming from this, like, comment. And she was like, the woman was like, well, only rich people have the luxury of, like, choosing to not eat. So they're the only ones that get this disorder because they chose to not eat. Whereas there are all these people in the world who can't afford to eat, but we don't say they have anorexia. And she's like, because they don't. Yeah. Like, it's not like just because you aren't eating today, you magically have anorexia.
Yeah.
Like, there's so much more that goes into it.
Yeah.
But I think that is the stereotypical thought when you say, oh, I met someone the other day who's battling with anorexia. They're going to picture an upper middle class white girl in her late teens, early 20s.
Yeah.
Like, that's what you picture.
Yeah, and even when I went to that conference in Houston, before I was a part of a panel talking about, like, our experiences in recovery and stuff. Oh. And it was towards the end of the day, so prior to the panel, I could see everyone kind of looking at me, and they're like, what is he doing here? Like, first of all, he looks like he's 12. He's wearing, like, these sparkly pants. Like, who is this guy?
What is the sparkly pants 12-year-old doing here?
Because they were all, like, you could tell they were wealthy white women.
Yeah.
You know, you had a table of girls who looked like they were at Coachella or something.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And you had, like, the moms and stuff, the California moms.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I was definitely out of place. But I think, I don't know, I think it was important to speak about my experience, because most of the people who were speaking were the kind of people that you're talking about.
Mm.
And that definitely is, like, I'm sure if you were to break it down, like, statistically or something, that is a huge group of people who suffer from eating disorders. But it's so much bigger than that. And I'm really glad that, like, I have a platform now to show that and to talk about that.
Oh, for sure. And I think part of it is, I don't know. I don't want to say that those are the people that can afford to get treatment or those are the people that can afford to be like, oh, that was my problem.
Yeah.
Now I have a platform.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it is statistically accurate that is the largest group, or if it's more just that's the most known about group because they are able to be more vocal.
Yeah.
That's something I don't know. That would be researchers
doing
math and stuff like that.
Well,
and
I don't do that.
Mm-hmm. Neither do you. We don't do the math.
Mm-hmm.
So you went to Texas and talked.
Yeah.
And talked about your experience. And then you talked at the beginning of a walk here.
Yeah, there was a walk at Ohio State University.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to be, there were like three different speakers there. And while I was in Houston at the end of the conference, I was approached by like a bunch of people. And one of them was like, hey, I'm doing the walk in Columbus. And it's like next week. They're like, can I add you as a speaker? And I was like, yeah, like sure. And then someone else was like, can you speak at the walk in Cleveland in September?
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, yeah, so I'm doing that too.
That's awesome.
There were like 400 to 500 people at the one at OSU, which was like super surprising to me.
Because
I didn't think that many people, like, because it's like eating disorders are such a specific topic, I think.
I feel like it's a very quiet topic.
Yeah.
Like, it's something you deal with. If you deal with it, you deal with it quietly,
typically.
And aren't super vocal about it.
Yeah.
So yeah, for like 400 to 500 people to show up, like, that's a big deal. It's not like, ooh, it's a breast cancer walk. Like, everybody knows somebody. Not to say that everyone doesn't know somebody who has dealt with an eating disorder, because pretty positive, just about every one of my listeners or everyone on the street knows someone with an eating disorder or who had an eating disorder or who personally had an eating disorder. But they may not know it or they're not vocal about it. Does that make sense? So, yes, you have. But when, you know, when someone gets diagnosed with breast cancer or someone gets diagnosed with leukemia or MS or whatever, like, it becomes a thing where everyone rallies around you. And I feel like eating disorders, same thing with, like, mental health issues. It's not something that people rally around. Typically.
Yeah.
It's becomes, like, deal with it on your own.
Exactly. I hope that person ends up okay. Like, I hope they're okay.
I'm not going to do anything about it, but I hope they end up okay. I hope they get the help they need.
Exactly.
I hope you get the help you need. Maybe you should be the help I need. Anyway, sidebar. So you're doing a lot of talks, which is awesome. And do you love public speaking? I know the answer.
I don't, but it's fun to do it anyway. And I think what I like most about it is talking to people afterwards. Because, you know, different people connect with you in different ways. And I'm literally every time I do a public speaking thing, I have to include a disclaimer in there. It'd be like, I'm not a public speaker.
Because some of these people,
you know, they go out and they're like preachers. I'm like, how do y'all do this? But I just kind of, you know, ramble or whatever, because that's my style. But yeah, it's worth it for me, A, to like have that representation and to be some kind of role model for people. And B, just to be able to make so many connections. And like each time I do an event like this, not only do I gain a bunch of Instagram followers, which is not what it's about, but like those people are all people who have become my friends. And it's really cool to see, like, the opportunities that come from that and to, like, support each other.
Don't lie. You're doing it all for the Instagram.
That is not true.
I'm kidding. I think it's totally cool. I have one, like, weird side question. What does your film production company stand for? What is the name of it?
Oh, good question.
Yeah.
So it is 121 Films, and the 121 is in Roman numerals. Yes. Just because that's artsy.
Yes, it is. I have a tattoo that's Roman numerals because it's artsy. See?
Oh, nice. Weird. We'll ask you later.
It's my wedding day.
Okay, cool.
Alex has the same one.
Aw.
We got it on our anniversary 7 years ago. I know. so cool.
But mine is my recovery anniversary. And the intent is that I don't know if I'm going to be making films under this banner forever or like for how long, but the intent is that any films that are made under this banner are films that kind of stem from my recovery and lend to representation for mental health and eating disorders and LGBTQ stuff and, like, kind of all the stuff that has made me who I am today.
Okay.
And I really feel like that day was, like, the day that kind of, like, a flip switched and that all this started. So I thought it would be cool to kind of name the production company after that.
That's so cool. So I was able to pick up on some of that. Like, I knew there was 21 in it. And I knew you had said at one point in time, like, when you turned 21, you like, there was a time when you thought you would never turn 21. And so I read it as I, 21. Like, I am 21.
Okay, I like,
like,
that.
I made it. Like, I never thought I would, you know, like, so that's why, literally, I was asking you for my own personal, because I've signed contracts with it written on it.
It's on, like, all of the documents.
I was like, I want to know what that stands for. So yeah, it's kind of both, because it literally, that's what I read it as, was like, I, 21. Like, I'm 21. I did it. I made it. I can do this, because I already, like, blasted that barrier that I had set for myself, saying that I would not turn 21. You know what I mean?
From now on, I'm going to act like that was completely intentional. It was just a really clever production company name.
Yes, it was. I love it. So we're going to play some games.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yay. He's down. So fitting with the theme, well, not the theme of the movie. I mean, part of one theme of the movie is like pop music. Like, he's becoming a pop star. He has all this fame. So we are going to do a quiz.
Pop quiz, hotshot.
Okay.
Called the Ultimate Pop Music Quiz. Can you handle it?
I can definitely
handle it. I think you can handle it, because I scrolled through these, and some of these I don't know the answers to, but I hope you will.
Okay.
And some of them are a little dated, so I'll help you out. Okay. I can be your lifeline. Cool. I will give you one lifeline.
Only one.
Okay, two lifelines.
Thank you.
Okay? Yeah. Two. I don't think you'll need them, but whatever. Okay. Okay, question number one. Who sings Sexy Back? Justin Timberlake, Usher, Justin Bieber, or Enrique Iglesias?
It's Justin Timberlake, man.
It is. Okay. I just wanted to make sure you knew that. question number two. Which mathematical symbol is not the name of an Ed Sheeran album?
Oh, my God.
Plus, multiply, divide, or subtract? I would not know this one because I don't like Ed Sheeran.
I'm going to go with subtract.
Okay. You were right. Good okay. Job. Also, there is a blurb. So if you want me to read the blurb,
no,
I will, but only if you request it.
Okay.
Complete the Mark Ronson song title. Uptown, Beat, Girl, Funk, or Tunes?
Funk.
I probably would have gone with Girl, only because there's an old song back in the day.
You know Uptown Funk, though, right? Girl,
she's been living in a white bread world. The song literally said white bread world. Like, it tells you how old it is.
Okay.
Yes, I know Uptown Funk.
Okay, good.
What is the song that What is the song that launched Justin Bieber to stardom? What Do You Mean? Baby, Sorry, or Love Yourself?
Baby.
That's correct. I would not have known that one. I don't know. Sexy Back. Cry Me a River. Those are the ones I know. Which Taylor Swift album is Shake It Off on? Speak Now, Taylor Swift, Red, or 1989?
Well, I will have you know that I love Taylor Swift, so it's 1989.
I actually have that one on my phone.
I have it on vinyl.
You're such a millennial. You're not even a millennial. You're like, what are you, like a zennial or something?
Yeah, it's Gen Z. Yeah.
Okay, you might need a lifeline for this one.
Okay.
And I don't know that I can help you.
Okay.
Which Beatle, do you know who the Beatles are?
I do.
Okay. Performed a James Bond theme song. John Lennon, Paul McCartney, George Harrison, or Ringo Starr? I gave you the blurb if you'd like. I don't know if it'll help you or not.
Yeah, just go ahead and read it.
The James Bond movies always have chart-topping theme songs because they always get the biggest pop stars of the time to perform them. In the four Daniel Craig movies, we've had theme songs by Chris Cornell, Jack White featuring Alicia Keys, or maybe it's the other way around, Adele, and Sam Smith. So these are big names. For Live and Let Die, they got a former Beatle who had since joined his wife's pop band to do the theme song. Which Beatle was it?
I'm going to go with Paul.
You're correct.
Cool.
Who sings Call Me Maybe?
Carly Rae Jepsen.
Thank you. So you can just make this much shorter by answering the correct answer. Complete the Rihanna lyric. We found love in a...
hopeless place.
See? I don't even need to read the answers. He knows the answers. What are you going to hear Katy Perry do? Roar, shout, scream, or howl?
Roar.
Come on. Even I knew that one.
Yeah.
In which video, again, if you need a lifeline, I'm here.
Okay.
In which video does Michael Jackson play a zombie? Bad, Beat It, Speed Demon, or Thriller?
Amy.
I don't know.
Come on.
I know it's Michael Jackson. I feel like you should know
Thriller.
That. Thank you. It's my generation, not yours. Mm-hmm. Which movie is Can't Stop the Feeling from?
I know this one.
You do?
Yeah.
What is it?
Trolls.
That is an option. Wow, I would not have known that.
Yeah.
I mean, I know the song, but I don't know Trolls.
It's in the movie.
Wow.
Yeah.
I feel really old now, because that's by Journey, not by the Trolls. Okay, which Dolly Parton song did Miley Cyrus cover? Islands in the Stream, Coat of Many Colors, Here You Come Again, or Jolene?
Jolene.
That is correct. Didn't Gaga perform that too?
Yeah.
But a different version?
Yeah.
I know, because it's on my playlist. It's on my Gaga playlist.
You have a Gaga playlist?
I do. It only has four songs, but...
She has more songs than that, Amy.
I know, but my playlist only has four, because it's only the four songs that I could think of that I really wanted to sing over and over again in my car.
Okay.
Which pop star contributed a verse to Problem? That's the name of the song. Iggy Azalea, Selena Gomez, Justin Bieber, or Miley Cyrus?
It's Iggy Azalea.
Good job. God, I feel so old right now. At least I know the names of these people. Like, that makes me feel a little
better.
That's a start. What does Nicki Minaj's Kind of Man never do, according to Super Bass?
I know all the lyrics to this song.
Okay, so what does her man never do?
Well, I'm going to need options, though.
No, if you know the lyrics, you should know it.
Options, please.
Never sits in first class, never flies coach, never joins the Mile High Club, or never drinks champagne.
Never flies coach.
That is correct. God, you're cool. Getting these all right. What country is Gangnam Style. You know that song.
Of course.
What country is it from? North Korea, China, Japan, or South Korea? Geography.
Yeah, I don't know geography.
I don't either. I can't lifeline you.
I just figured out that Montana was a state like 2 days ago. Kyle was like, I want to go to Montana. I'm like, where is that?
Hannah?
Yeah.
It was like, do you want to go visit Hannah, Montana?
I thought it was in Tennessee.
Montana's not in Tennessee.
I know that.
It's a whole state of its own. There's like 8 people that live there, so it's really not a big deal.
Why does he want to go there?
I don't know. I've been there. It's really boring. Oof. Tell him not to go.
Okay.
Pick a country.
Japan.
I don't think it's Japan. It was South Korea.
Oh. Oh, well.
I couldn't have lifelined you that, but I knew it wasn't Japan.
Okay.
Anyway, which of these is not a Whitney Houston song? I Want to Dance with Somebody, mm-hmm. Greatest Love of All, Time After Time, or I Will Always Love You. This is my generation.
Okay, I'm going to use a lifeline on this
one. It's going to be Time After Time.
Okay.
Because I think that was Cyndi Lauper, maybe. You got it correct. Well, okay. I got it correct.
Thank you.
What comes before blank Baby One More Time? This would be Britney, bitch, in case you didn't know.
Hit me.
Yeah, that would be it.
Of course I know Britney.
I'm just making sure the audience knows. Which actor is We Are Never, Ever Getting Back Together rumored to be about? Ryan Reynolds, Chris Hemsworth, Jake Gyllenhaal, or Matthew McConaughey?
Oh, these guys all seem really old.
That's what I was just going to say. But the only one I can... I'm guessing the one that I'm assuming is the only one I can think because I feel like he's younger than the rest of them.
I'm going to go with a Jake Gyllenhaal.
That's my guess. That was correct.
Okay.
That was my guess.
Like, I'm a little concerned if she's dating Matthew McConaughey.
Matthew McConaughey and Ryan Reynolds and maybe even Chris Hemsworth, I feel like are all in my age range.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't think Jake Gyllenhaal is quite. I feel like he's... Anyway. Complete the Cyndi Lauper song title. Girls Just Want To...
Have fun.
That was the dumbest question. At the end of what month do Green Day want you to wake them up?
September.
Yes, that's correct. I'm really impressed that you knew that one.
Oh, thank you.
Because that's not pop music. That's Green Day.
Yeah.
Come on. What is Every Breath You Take about? Murder, kidnapping, stalking, or sexual assault? I do know this one as well.
Lifeline.
Stalking. It's about stalking.
Really?
Yep. Sure is.
I thought it was like a romance song.
Everyone thinks it is. And they play it at like their weddings.
Yeah.
And it's really creepy because it's about a stalker.
Oh, no.
Yes. Also from 1983. So I was barely born.
It won't be on my playlist.
I was barely born.
Okay.
Let alone you be born.
Mm-hmm.
I was 4. Which of these is not a song by Queen? Don't Stop Me Now, Born to Run, Bicycle Race, or Another One Bites the Dust?
I'm going to go with Born to Run.
That's my answer, too.
Okay.
And that was correct.
Okay.
Good job.
Cool.
How many questions are there? Oh, my God. This is going on forever. We may just have to say you know everything, because this is a really long quiz. We're going to do 2 more.
Okay.
Because I just scrolled down, and it just kept going.
Well, it's the ultimate quiz. Going.
It is. Who are you and the she in Halsey's SOS? Seal and Gwen Stefani, Harry Styles and Taylor Swift, Justin Bieber and Selena Gomez, or John Legend and Chrissy Teigen. I have to say, I don't understand how Seal and Gwen Stefani are in a category together.
Yeah.
Because the rest of these people were all couples at some point in time.
Yeah. I'm going to go with Justin and Selena.
It was Harry and Taylor.
Okay.
What will Lord never be? Famous? Lawyers? Movie stars or royals?
Royals.
Duh, it's the name of the song.
Lawyers.
Lawyers. Okay, we're doing this last one. We're stopping at 25. I'm not doing all these. I'm just going to say you got them all right.
Okay.
Complete the Taylor Swift lyric. But I've got a blank space, baby.
And I'll write your name.
Good job.
Great.
You win.
I did miss one.
You did.
Mm-hmm.
You did miss one. I don't remember what it was.
It was Japan.
Oh, yes. Because it was geography.
Yeah, I don't know geography.
It was geography. It doesn't count. It wasn't pop culture. It wasn't pop stars. That was geography.
Mm-hmm.
It's the only one that you are allowed to miss.
Okay.
This next game is called What Was the Last?
What was your last?
And you're going to need your phone.
Okay. I have it right there.
Are you an open book?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
For sure.
All right, are you ready to play?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, first question.
Mm-hmm.
What was your last text?
Ooh.
Yeah, I know. I'll play with you.
Okay.
Because it's more fun when I play, too. Last text you sent, I should say that. Or it could be the one you received, whichever you want to share.
The last text I sent was to you, and it was that cider is good.
Because I was asking him what he wanted to drink.
Mm-hmm.
Oddly enough, the last text I sent was... Okay, because that's all I got that's fruity.
Great.
So that was real riveting.
Mm-hmm.
What was your last tweet?
Oh.
Do you tweet?
I do tweet. Okay. Do you tweet?
I do. I don't know that I follow you, though. Okay, I don't tweet. I Instagram, which connects to my Twitter.
Okay.
I don't specifically tweet. But what was your last tweet?
I retweeted the trailer for the second Maleficent movie.
Oh. Okay, I'll give you that.
Okay.
I really like the first one.
Me too.
So I really like Angelina Jolie, so.
Yeah.
My last tweet said, so great seeing these humans today, even if it was a short visit. And it was a visit that I had with an old friend of mine. And a photo of us.
I saw that on Instagram.
Yeah, it was sweet. Mm-hmm. We looked like we were having fun. We were laughing.
Yeah.
What is the last photo in your photo roll? Okay, you're so scrolling through your photos, that doesn't count. The last photo.
It's a screenshot of a Shawn Mendes post on Facebook to remind myself to look at it later.
That is all that matters.
Okay.
You can't lie. Mine is a photo of, this is going to make no sense to anyone other than a small select people in the world. I got this postcard in the mail from Misha Collins, who's an actor on Supernatural, who also is in charge of the Gish scavenger hunt that happens every year. And it was a postcard that said, Penny for your thoughts. And then it was signed from him, and that was it. And there was a penny in the envelope. But if you shined a black light on it, you then saw this whole paragraph of information telling you, like, this challenge to do.
Yeah.
And so I took a photo to share it in my Gish group because nobody could figure out what to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what my last photo was. Real riveting.
Yeah. Super nerdy.
Very nerdy. What is the last thing you've eaten?
I had Cane's for dinner.
I feel like you always eat food that I'm like, I want to eat that.
Yeah.
For Mother's Day, can I confess something?
Yeah.
For Mother's Day, Alex was like, where do you want to go for Mother's Day? And I was like, I don't care where we go, but I want chicken fingers and french fries.
It's me every
and I
day.
Thought of you.
Yeah.
I was like, that's what I wanted. It sounded good. And we went to Logan's and I had chicken fingers and french fries. And it was delicious.
Good.
But I go to Cane's all the time.
When this it's like my second time having Cane's. I'm not impressed.
Do you not like it?
No.
Did you get extra bread, extra toast, and extra sauce?
I don't like the sauce.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Sauce is good.
That sounded aggressive.
It was very aggressive. That was the most aggressive.
I saw the little meter on there.
Yeah,
like, oh, God.
The little lines on your vocal track have not gone that high,
mm-hmm.
except you don't like the sauce.
It's
what
good.
Do you like to dip your chicken tenders in?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Ew. Okay, we can't be friends anymore.
Okay.
Because I need all the ranch, but only if it's like house-made ranch at a good restaurant.
Okay.
Or honey mustard or cane sauce. That's it. But I also like mayonnaise a lot, and cane sauce is mayonnaise with ketchup and some spices.
I could definitely taste ketchup in there.
Yeah, there's ketchup in it. I don't like ketchup, but I don't mind ketchup if it's in my mayonnaise.
Okay.
Anyway, What's the last thing I've eaten? I had a Mexican plate. I had a plate of home Mexican food. It was like rice and refried beans and some meat and black olives and cheese for dinner. It was home food. I've decided I don't like home food. That's why I don't eat.
Okay.
If I could eat out every day, I would eat all the time.
Yeah.
But I don't like home food. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, eating out is expensive.
Yeah.
What is the last show you watched?
I don't really watch a lot of content. I feel like I don't have time.
Millennial. Zennial.
It's probably like The Office.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah.
I would say the last show I watched was probably Friends, because I fall asleep to Friends every night.
Okay.
And I haven't watched TV today, because I've been at work. What's the last movie you watched?
I made Kyle, my boyfriend, watch The Wizard of Oz with me.
Oh, has he never seen it?
No, he's seen it.
Okay, I was going to say I cannot be friends with
him. Yeah, it was my birthday, and I'm like, we're going to watch this.
Okay, no, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we watched a movie called Wine Country on Netflix last night.
Okay, how was that?
It was fine.
Okay.
It was like, when it first started, I was like, oh, this is like Hangover meets Bridesmaids meets like Sideways, like, because it's all in Wine Country.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't as funny as Bridesmaids or Hangover.
Mm.
It was...
Bridesmaids is a pretty high bar to set.
I mean, it was an all-female cast for the most part, and it was all people from like SNL or like people you know as being funny.
Yeah.
It just kind of missed the mark.
Okay.
It wasn't terrible. Mm-hmm. I would watch it.
Okay.
Not going to watch it again.
Mm-hmm. That's fair.
What's the last thing you bought for yourself? Like, not like I bought McDonald's, but like the last thing you like. Or like, I'm going to buy this for myself.
I don't know. I'm broke. All this money is going to the movie.
I bought Amy's salary.
Yeah. I bought an LLC.
That's not exciting.
Yeah, I bought a smoothie today. I treated myself.
Hey, if you consider that treating yourself, then that counts.
It was good.
Then that counts.
Yeah.
oddly enough, I'm going to say I placed an order for 4 items on Wish.
Okay.
The other night when I was laying in bed, I don't remember what those 4 items are because it's Wish and everything is super cheap and it doesn't get here for like 3 weeks because it comes from China. So I don't know what I bought, really. I think there was, like, a jumpsuit in there.
Okay.
Maybe a shirt.
We'll see
I don't
when
know.
I get to.
Yeah, it's, like, a surprise.
Mm-hmm.
But it was 4 items. I know that.
Okay.
What's the last song played on your phone? Do you play music on your phone?
Of course.
Okay. What's the last song played? So pull up whatever you use, Spotify or iTunes.
What do you use?
I use Spotify.
Okay, good.
I mean, I have other things, but
yeah,
Spotify.
Something's Gotta Give by Camila Cabello.
Okay. I kind of know who that name is.
She sings Havana, the greatest song of the 21st century.
Yeah, I know. You. That's how I know it, because it's always in your stories.
I love it.
So the last song that played on mine is Shallow by Lady Gaga on the A Star Is Born soundtrack, which I have never seen the movie.
Amy.
But I listened to that song and another song on that, like, on repeat. Those are 2 of the 4 songs on my Gaga soundtrack.
Watch the movie.
I don't have it, so I haven't watched it.
I haven't.
You didn't bring it to me. Please do, because it's, like, $8 on Amazon or something.
Oh.
I'm waiting for it to come on Netflix. Where it's free.
Yeah.
What is the last email you sent?
Oh.
I mean, you don't have to read, like, the whole thing.
Yeah,
but,
I'm just
like,
going to take a look.
You know. Yeah. Just, like, a little, you know, like, this is the last email I sent.
It was to the movie theater in Columbus that I mentioned earlier.
Oh, nice.
I can't disclose the information.
It's okay. It's okay.
Yes.
We're setting up. Mm-hmm. We're setting up premiere stuff.
We are.
Mine was about a missed punch clock, time clock today.
Riveting.
Yeah, real riveting. Mm-hmm. I didn't clock out at some point in time last week, 2 weeks ago. What was your last Insta story? It was probably about a dog.
It probably was.
Which is funny because he's not a dog person, but he's like obsessed with this one dog.
Yeah, my boyfriend's dog is, like, the cutest thing in the world.
And he posts about this dog all the time, and I've never seen him post about a dog ever before.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a dog.
Yeah, okay. There you go.
Well, mine was mine was a photo I took of the Wine Country movie that we were watching, and I said that I feel like everyone's going to think I am this actress.
Okay. And I did think that was you. Before I looked at the caption, I was like, what?
She's like this really big, fat person, but she's so funny, mm-hmm. and she's like a big girl and mm-hmm. blonde, and I looked at it and I was like, everyone's going to think that's me.
In that screenshot, it definitely
And in the like screenshot, it, and then I had you. Three different people message me and say, when I watched that movie, I thought you would have been perfect in that role. I'm like, mm-hmm. yep. And I was like, shut up, you're not nearly as big as her. I'm like, that's not the point. The point is like, something about her, like, aura was mm-hmm. like, that's me. And as I watched the movie even more, I was like, yep, I could have mm-hmm. played that role.
Yeah.
Like, that role specifically could have mm-hmm. been me. Anyway, it was funny. When is the last time you talked to your parents?
Just like Facebook messaging count?
Sure.
Okay, today.
Oh, look at you.
Yeah.
Aren't you a good son?
So wholesome.
I talked to my mom on Mother's Day.
Okay.
My dad was busy talking to my sister in the other room, so he didn't get on the phone.
It's not his day anyway.
Yeah, it was just my mom. Normally they both get on the phone, but this time it was like, this is Mother's Day. I'm going to take the whole phone.
Okay.
What is the last book you read?
Okay, I don't read.
Like, I don't read books, I just write them.
I don't read. Yeah, well, I feel like I go through these things where, like, I'll read a bunch and, like, watch a bunch of things and take things in. And then I'll just, like, start writing. And I've been in this...
I can see that.
This, like, thing where I'm writing a lot. So I haven't read in a long time.
So your own book. That's the last book you've read is your own.
Yeah. That sounds really, like, conceited.
No, it's okay.
Okay. What about you? What you been reading, Amy?
I haven't read anything. Well, so the last time I answered these questions, I think that was probably the last book. So there was this series called Stage Dive that was, like... It was, like... It was, like, a rock band porn, kind of.
Okay.
Like, your face just was like, whoa, what? It was like erotica for, like, moms, but it was about, like,
Is that even a genre?
Oh, that's a
erotica
genre.
Erotica for moms?
Oh, that's a genre. Okay. 50 Shades of Grey, have you heard of it?
True,
That was erotica for moms. Mm-hmm. It was like that.
Okay.
But, each book in the series was based on a different band member.
Mm-hmm.
And I read all four of them in, like, a month's time.
Nice.
So I finished that one, but I haven't read anything since then.
I feel like I know a lot more about you now that you said that.
Dude, they were hot guys with tattoos.
Oh.
In my head. I mean, I don't know what they were. It was a book. But
maybe they'll be movies.
I would watch that movie.
Yeah.
What is the last thing you Googled? This is the last question.
It's going to be something so stupid.
Mine is too, I'm sure. Well, okay, I have to go back from the pop music quiz because we know I Googled that.
Mine is things to do in Montana.
Oh, God. Mine was the Myers-Briggs test.
Have you taken it?
Well, I've taken one before, but I was listening to a podcast yesterday on my way to work, and they were talking about it, and I was like, I should take it again.
Mm.
And so I Googled it, and I couldn't find a free one online, so I didn't take it again.
I can link you to one.
Yeah, can you do that?
Yeah.
I know I'm in the extrovert.
Okay.
I just don't know the other letters.
Yeah.
He's like, I know that.
Yeah.
I sit in a room and talk to myself.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see the lights flicker?
I did.
There's a ghost. We have a ghost in our house. It happens all the time. Remember? I talked about it two podcasts ago. The ghost was flickering the lights in the kitchen. Now it's happening in the studio. There's a ghost. Mm-hmm. Where's Sam and Dean when you need them?
Is that a Supernatural
reference? It is. Okay. Good job. I love that you chuckled and knew that's where it came from. That's all I got for you.
Okay.
Do you have anything else?
I don't think so.
Do you have anything to plug? What do you got to plug?
Oh,
you got anything coming up?
I always have things to plug.
I mean, we're obviously going to plug where they can find you. But okay. So where can they find you? Let's start with that.
Yeah, you can find me at I'm Angela Thomas on Facebook, Twitter,
and that's
Instagram.
I'm...
Yes.
I am...
Yeah.
Angelo Thomas.
Yeah.
I don't know that I actually said your name.
Oh, yeah. I'm Angela Thomas, by the way.
It's fine. Whatever, you know.
It'll be in the title.
It's fine, whatever.
So, yeah, you can find me on basically any social media platform, even Pinterest. I'm on there now.
You're like me. You have like your name for everything. Yeah. That's what mine, like mine is all Amy K. A. Y. Clark.
I remember when I met you, you were talking about how you couldn't get the IMDb name for
yeah,
that.
I got it now.
Yeah, I noticed when I added you. I'm like, ooh, she got the K.
I did. I fought for that, but it worked. I got it.
Yeah, you should follow me. I'm one of those people who post a bunch when I'm working on things. So when we're shooting in Louisiana, I'll be posting a bunch of behind-the-scenes stuff on my stories and whatnot.
You can see me.
Yeah, Amy will be there. And I have another book coming out September 3rd. It's a sequel to the first one. So if you haven't read the first one,
hop on Amazon and buy it.
Yeah.
It's really good. You can read it in like a day. Like it's super... I don't want to say it's an easy read because I feel like that makes it sound like it's like... I don't know, not a juvenile, but like I feel like when you say something is an easy read, you're like, oh, whatever, it's just fluff, like it's no big deal. When I say that, I mean like it all just flows together, like you just want to keep reading, so you just keep reading, and then next thing you know, you're finished with it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I'm glad it has that effect.
Yeah, I mean, I read it in a day.
Yeah.
And I read a lot of books, mostly rockstar porn, apparently. Or gay porn. I read a lot
of
that,
too. Mine's rockstar, but not porn.
Yeah, yeah. It didn't have the
Maybe
porn.
Maybe the third one.
I've already told you I'm pushing for Kat to find love.
Yeah.
That's just a selfish...
It'll happen. Maybe in a spinoff story.
Yeah, that's just a selfish thing for me. Can my character find love, please? Can my character make out with someone, please? That's really what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Preferably like a rock star with lots of ink. We can make that happen.
Okay.
I mean,
I'll
come
keep
on.
That in mind.
She's a manager of a rock star. Like, it makes sense.
Yeah.
Duh.
Not sure that would be in the story, though.
Sure. Just fit it in there.
Okay.
Make it happen. Wave your magic wand.
Okay.
Okay, so they can find you at I'm Angelo Thomas just about everywhere.
Yep.
And then, what do you got going on other than the second book, which launches
September 3rd?
I was going to say 2nd. 3rd.
Yeah.
September 3rd, book number 2. And then we're going to get working on book number 3.
There will be a book number 3.
Yes.
I have the title, but I don't know much else about it. The ideas are percolating.
Awesome.
But yeah, there will probably be a third book. Because, like, if you do 2, I feel like you have to do a third one.
Well, yeah, you can't just have
People
two.
Are just expecting a third
like,
one.
Like, you either do 1 or 3.
Yeah, so.
You can't do 2.
We're doing 3.
2's bad.
Yeah.
Even numbers are bad.
It's
you
like
gotta,
bad luck.
Yeah, you gotta be on odd numbers.
Yeah.
Okay, I hope this was more lighthearted than our previous episode was. We tried to keep it light. We tried to keep it breezy and fun and happy. So I will be in Louisiana with Angelo in August filming. And then you're all going to watch it and you're all going to think it's amazing.
Yeah.
But after that. So after that, you're going to buy book 2. Because you're going to be like, oh... That was an amazing film that they were working on that I saw all the behind the scenes on.
Yeah.
I'm going to buy a book too and be up to speed.
Yeah. Totally. And then when the second movie comes out, you'll already know what the story
is. You'll be able to just watch it and enjoy it and not have to wonder what's going to happen. Yes, that's totally happening.
Yes.
That's what's happening. And next time we record a podcast, it'll be in like a fancy studio.
Oh, yeah.
As opposed to this room in my house.
This is pretty nice, though.
I mean, it's fine.
Yeah.
It's not a fancy studio.
Okay.
Nobody, like, came in, like, refreshing champagne or something.
Yeah, Kyle left and
Yeah, I know. Kyle didn't even come back. Like, he left and
Maybe
never came back.
Maybe he left me
back.
A note. I was going to get an Uber.
He's like, take an Uber home. Yeah. See you later. Mm-hmm. I'm not waiting around for you.
Yeah.
Okay, so you can find Angelo at I'm Angelo Thomas on just about everything. You can find me, as always, at Amy K A Y Clark. I need to find a better way to say that because it always sounds weird. But if I just say Amy K Clark, it doesn't.
I think that works though.
Do you think?
Yeah.
Do you think people know the middle name is a real name now?
Yeah.
Not just a letter.
Yeah.
Amy real name Clark. No.
No.
That doesn't work either.
No, it works better the other way.
Okay. Anyway. Yeah. I think that's it. Okay. I think we did it.
We did.
It's hot in here, and we got to get out, and it's a random Tuesday, and I have to work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have to work, too.
He's like, yeah, we got to work. We got to get out of here.
Yeah.
Okay, guys. Thanks for tuning in this week, and be sure to check back next week when we chat with some other fabulous people. Bye.